UK Wine Show, show number 48, Wine Storage Cabinets. G'day, welcome to the UK Wine Show, show number 48 for the 27th of April 2007. My name's Chris Scott, and this week we're going to be talking about two different types of wine storage cabinets. We're going to be talking with Stuart Booth from Dometica and Stephen Anglaire from Liebherr. Both of these companies sell freestanding cabinets, which we can use for wine storage, but they use different technologies. But before we get into that, let's have the news with Jane Scott.
Thanks, Chris. First up this week, English sparkling wine is proving so successful that some producers are actually limiting the amount of bottles they sell. Ridgeview is restricting the amount sold to visitors to the vineyard and to trade customers. It is hoped that ongoing new planting will relieve the situation, but not until 2009. Owner Mike Roberts assures us that prices will not increase due to the high demand. And Knight & Batut is feeling the pressure. As a result, they have decided to shift their sales policy towards the top tier of the on-trade. In fact, Knight Inn is about to go on the wine list at the Fat Duck, which this week was voted the second best restaurant in the world for the second year running. Meanwhile, Piper Heidsieck is hoping to reinvent the way we drink champagne this summer by promoting the idea of serving it over ice. As part of the campaign, trendy city bars will be serving the champagne in curvy red-stemmed glasses rather than traditional flutes. But it remains to be seen whether doing a Magnus will have the same effect as it did on the hugely successful cider brand. Magnus was launched as a drink served on ice in a special branded glass. I can only suggest you crack open a bottle of bubbly right away and give it a try. And finally this week, a new non-shattering pre-filled wine glass for outdoor summer drinking is being launched. The Thule Pack, created by Alfresco Wines, is equivalent to a quarter of a bottle of wine and will be filled with Australian Shiraz, Australian Chardonnay and a Californian Rosé. They'll be available under the Trencherman brand at first, but major wine brands will also be offered the Thule Pack glass under a licensing agreement. And 10 years ago, in 1997, amidst jokes about global warming, there were predictions that English sparkling wine might have a bright future. Judging by the current supply situation and the number of award-winning wines we're producing, these predictions are proving to be right. If you'd like the news in full, please check out the 3050 website at www.3050.co.uk and go to the news homepage. That's it from me this week. Back to you, Chris.
Cheers to that, Jane. A range of new ways to consume our favourite beverage is always good, but I was wondering how they'll actually stand up. Fizz over ice is certainly a novel idea, but I'd be worried about getting the most out of a champagne and a tumbler and ice, particularly when you're paying £20 plus for a bottle of wine. I want to make sure I get all the enjoyment of the aromas and the taste coming through. That said, I haven't tried it yet, so next time I'm opening a bit of champagne, I'll give it a go. I think also it might be worth having a go with Prosecco, the Northern Italian sparkling wine. It's got a really gentle fizz, and I know it goes fantastic with strawberries, so I might be trying that on ice as well. Next up, we've got the interview from Stuart Booth. Hi, I'm here with Stuart Booth from Dometic.
That's right. Pleased to meet you, Chris.
How are you going today?
Yes, not too bad at all. Thank you very well.
Excellent. You guys make wine storage cabinets?
That's correct, yes. Electrolux Leisure Appliances up until 2001. So in November 2001, we were actually sold off by as a complete division from the Electrolux Group and therefore became Dometic Limited from this date forward. We're quite diverse as a company, as well as our wine cellar storage units. We're also within many other markets, the marine market, the RV market, and indeed the hotel industry with minibar refrigerator units. And basically, what all our products are based on is the technology that we use, which is the absorption technology. Now, with refrigeration products, obviously the vast majority will have compressor units,
sure.
Like your domestic fridge at home will have.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure. But the technology that Dometic uses is the absorption technology. How that basically differs is it's completely silent whilst it's in operation. And this is obviously a great selling factor in environments such as the minibars when the unit's going to be integrated into a silent or a sleeping environment. But the biggest selling advantage that we have for our wine cellar units is that this technology is also vibration-free, which is obviously very important, obviously with it allowing the sediments within your fine wines to settle. In doing this, we feel that we can actually to recreate the conditions of a natural wine cellar.
So how does it work if it doesn't have a fridge type unit heat yep. pumping it?
Yep, sure. It's a compressor unit will obviously use a motor. It will therefore have moving parts. Yep. Now what this will obviously mean is that other wine cellar cabinets will try and eliminate this by using shock absorbers, which reduce the amount of vibration within the unit. However, they can't eliminate it completely. How our unit works is that it's a mixture of water and ammonia. It's a solution that's used, and by heating this solution, it basically absorbs heat from within the wine cabinet to create a cooling effect.
So what is it? You heat the ammonia water up.
That's
it expands,
right.
And then it runs through something, and as it cools, it contracts, and
that's right.
Pulls heat out.
Yeah, I mean, the ammonia solution is heated, and then the ammonia vapor will go up to the condenser. In the condenser, the vapor is then cooled into a fluid, and then this will then run off into a low temperature evaporator, where it evaporates into a weak ammonia hydrogen atmosphere. And whilst it is evaporating, the ammonia liquid will absorb the heat and therefore create a cold environment. And what our wine cellar units also have as well is they also have a heating element in the base of the unit, so the wine cellar can actually be used in cold ambient temperatures, so it's within somebody's garage, for example, and therefore if the ambient temperature drops below the temperature that you've actually set the then obviously the heating will ensure that can bring the internal part of the cabinet back up to temperature. If
yeah,
you
sure. Because okay. You want to make sure it's not just cold, but not too cold.
Exactly, yes. I mean, the ideal storage temperature for fine wines being recommended to be 12 or 13 degrees. Obviously, if the ambient temperature is, say, 8 degrees, then you're going to need to raise the temperature by, say, 4 degrees. So, obviously, our units are able to do that.
Heat pumps and refrigerators,
sure.
Very power friendly.
Yeah,
use a lot of power. Heating, yep. I can imagine heating up uses a bit more power.
A little, yeah.
Do you know how much power you guys use for say maybe a 100 bottle unit?
For a 100 bottle unit, if we start with our smallest unit, say the CS52, which is a 36 bottle unit, that has an energy consumption of 1.25 kilowatts per 24 hours.
1.25. So you're looking at maybe what? 30p a day.
That would be about
20,
right. Yeah,
20p a day.
Yeah, and that's in an average ambient temperature of around 20 degrees. Now, the energy consumption for absorption units, we have the lowest energy consumption on the market. This is obviously something that I'm well aware of when we deal with, say, hotels, for example, with their minibars. There are other absorption minibars on the market, so therefore we have to compete, and we are the lowest energy consumption as far as absorption units go.
So it's a bit of a balance between better quality aging because it's vibration-free versus a bit more power, but I suppose how much do one of these units cost?
Right, okay. Going with the smallest model, the CS52, that will have a recommended retail value of around £1,200, and then within our range we can go anything up to a 412 bottle wine storage cabinet, which is a very nice model, available in three different finishes. It's actually a wood cabinet that has two wine cellars integrated into it.
Yep.
And that will retail at around £10,000.
It's quite expensive.
Very expensive, but there are customers out there that demand such products
for
the more affluent purchase.
Couple of extra pounds a week is you're not going to notice if you're spending 10 grand on a
exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah.
And I suppose people are putting their wines in there. They've got top end Bordeaux and all that sort of stuff. So
exactly. Yeah. For the people that enjoy fine wines,
do people use these units for storing the wines for resale, or do they just use it, do you think, more for personal consumption, or you know, in a hotel where you're storing the wine,
sure.
Waiting for it to be sold?
Sure. We actually sell to the on-trade, to hotels and restaurants. Basically, it is to the more prestigious, you know, your five-star restaurants and hotels who keep fine wines and serve fine wines on their premises. So I will stress that our unit is not actually a serving cabinet. It's more designed for the long-term storage. What we're doing is recreating the conditions of a natural cellar, and therefore it's used within the industry to keep the wines for a long period, so they age correctly. They're then taken from our unit and then obviously brought up to their serving temperature, either by fridge or by room temperature,
yeah.
And then served to the customer through that way.
Who sells your products? Is it available in the high street, or is it?
We are generally a business to business company, and we do have distributors out there that that stock or are able to provide our wine cellars. The Perioth is
Perioths, yeah.
Perioths, yes. They take the Dometic unit. We're also looking for independent wine merchants. Now there are some independent wine merchants out there that stock the Dometic product. So what we how we handle the inquiries basically is any calls that come into the office upon stating the postcode of where the where the end consumer is, we will tell them if they is a just distributor in their area.
Yep. Oh, well, we'll wrap it up there, Stuart.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much, mate.
Thanks very much, Chris.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Next up, we've got the interview with Stephen Onglair from Liebherr.
Hi, I'm here with Stephen Onglair from Liebherr. How are you, Stephen?
Well, thank you.
You guys make storage for wine.
That's right, we make wine cabinets.
And how long's Liebherr been going for?
Liebherr started refrigeration manufacturing in 1954.
And how long have you been making wine cabinets?
Since 1980.
What drove you to, from, say, normal refrigeration into wine cabinets?
I think Liebherr saw it as a growing opportunity.
Who owns Liebherr? Are you guys on the stock market, or...?
Liebherr is a family-owned company. It's privately owned. And I work for Cool Electric Limited, and we are the sole importer of Liebherr refrigeration in the UK.
Okay, so you're like the distributors for Liebherr.
And that's right.
What sort of range of models do you guys have? You know, if I wanted to have one sitting under my sink, could that work? Or
yeah, we do 30 different models, which I believe is Europe's biggest range of wine cabinets. We do a range of built-in and freestanding.
Okay, and what sort of size units do you guys have?
The bottle capacity ranges from 40 to 31.
There's quite a bit of different technologies, or there seems to be two different technologies out there for keeping your wine in optimum temperature.
Yes.
Doesn't that? Do you want to explain the sort of technology you guys use?
Yeah, we use refrigeration units with compressors and evaporators, and our units also have heaters. Some have fans, some are static. So we use our refrigeration technology for our wine cabinets.
I was talking to some of your competition earlier, and they sort of said, a bit of vibration associated with refrigerations, because they've effectively got a motor in them, don't they?
Yes, that's right. We use low vibration compressors, and all components that are outsourced by Liebherr are done with great care, and they only use three or four suppliers that they've used for many years, so they are low vibration units.
Why do people get uptight about vibration with the wines?
It can unsettle the wine and affect its life, really, in the bottle.
Yeah,
so it's very, very important.
Sort of does it shake it up and mix
yeah.
it up a wee bit?
And in our Grand Cru range, we have untreated cherry wood shelves, which again reduces any possibility of vibration.
Okay. So you've got things to keep the wine cool. You've got things to keep it warm.
Yes.
What about humidity? Because humidity is quite a big thing with storing wine long term.
It's important.
It?
We have high humidity through use of the defrost water from the evaporator in
so
the
what
cabinets.
Happens there? The water comes in, it freezes, and then it...
It evaporates, it defrosts off the evaporator plate and falls onto a lava rock facility where the humidity is increased in the cabinet.
Okay, and that then evaporates back into the cabinet.
Yeah. And we also have an air filtration system, so all our cabinets have charcoal filters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the wine can actually breathe in the cabinet.
Yeah.
So we use a replaceable cartridge, which is replaced every 12 months.
Yep.
And all our cabinets are specifically built around the size of a wine bottle. They're not converted fridges, as some of our competitors are.
What about, like, you get different size wine bottles? I make up cases that I have to ship out sometimes, and I tell you what, every bottle seems to be different.
Yeah, we use the basis of the 75-centilitre Bordeaux bottle.
Yep.
But also the larger champagne, typical champagne-sized bottle will fit in the Liebherr cabinet.
What about a Magnum or some of those sleek-sized champagne bottles?
They will fit in certain areas of the cabinet. Where we have fixed shelving, they have to go in other areas.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, but some of your shelving can be moved around just to fit the bottles.
Right.
Brilliant, brilliant. And what do these things cost? I know, because I've seen them in magazines, and they seem to be very expensive.
They sell on the high street from $7.99 up to about £3,000.
£3,000's quite a lot for a bottle of Plonk.
That's right, but that unit has the facility to have three different storage areas, all electronically and independently controlled.
What's the advantage with multiple storage areas?
You can have long-term storage at around 12 degrees for various types of wine, and you can have other areas where the wine is at serving temperature.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. The $7.99 one that you mentioned, you said that was in John Lewis.
John Lewis Partnership range of that model, yes.
And it's not your small unit either, isn't it?
No, it's 143 bottle capacity. It's very good value.
143 bottles is That's about what I would require, I think. Yes, is that a tall unit?
Yes, it is. It's about 164 centimetres high.
Oh, okay. And who, like, you obviously retail it through John Lewis. Who buys your these things? You've got to be pretty rich to be able to afford a flash cabinet.
Yeah, we go through specialist wine cabinet sellers. We go through independent retailers and John Lewis Partnership, and also kitchen studios mm-hmm. with our built-in range.
Yep. Do you get much sales into the trade, or is it all to consumers?
Yes, we do deal with a brewery chain who buy Liebherr for their gastropubs.
Yeah.
And we're looking at other avenues as well.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Stephen. That's brilliant.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed that. I thought we'd take a moment to summarise some of the different types of cellars and the key requirements to consider for a cellar. I think probably the first one is the environmental point of view. Obviously, a cellar is the best option because it consumes no power while in operation. So whilst it takes a fair bit to dig a cellar out or install one of these spiral cellars, at least after that, you've got no ongoing costs. And 30p a day doesn't sound like much, but if you add it up, it's about 10 quid a month, you know, 100 quid a year. So it does make a bit of a difference to the bank balance. One of the concerns I had was the humidity control in the cellar. A normal cellar has quite high humidity because it's underground and water's effectively draining through the rocks into the cellar. Spiral cellars are effectively sealed off from any natural humidity coming into the cellar because they've got to do that to stop water coming up into the house. And similarly, the cabinets, while they allow for evaporation of some of the condensation back into the cabinet, there's actually no control over humidity. And humidity is a key driver, particularly if you're aging wines for a long period of time. A humid cellar will lose less wine through the cork than a cellar that is quite dry. That was the big thing that I was disappointed from all three cellars. But in general, if you're looking for something quiet and vibration-free, then an absorption cabinet seems pretty good. But if you're worried about cost and you haven't got a place to build a cellar, then obviously one of the refrigeration units probably are the better way to go. Next week, we're going to go up to Leeds, and we're going to be talking to the most northerly commercial winery in the UK, Leventhorpe. Recommended by foodie Rick Stein and producing wines at 53.7 degrees latitude, we're well out of the normal 30-50 degree latitude range that you see most wines in. So until next week, cheers and good drinking.
The UK Wine Show was brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company. The show was produced by Jane Scott and recorded and edited by Chris Scott. The news was read by Jane Scott and researched by Sandra Clement. The music for the UK Wine Show is Griff de Jingle 1 by Marcel de la Jartel and Silence by Etoile Noire.